T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, team have not takeover, baby. On MLK Day, on your home for SB 53 in the ATL.
Hey, 223 days. Till 2 weeks leather in college football.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm starting to countdown now.
Rob Tribble, John Chuckery hanging out with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on MLK Day. Hawks in action later on today, as always, on MLK Day. Take it on the Orlando Magic, 2:30 p.m., 3 o'clock tip-off of today. By the way, too, you can go to radio.com, download your radio.com app to listen to us, Rob. You can go to 929thegame.com. We're streaming on there. Brian will, if he wants a good grade, put the show up online at some point.
I don't know. He's overworked today, though. He's overwhelmed.
All of our social media, Rob, is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Bumble, Tinder, Grindr, Match.
Just waiting for the Grindr.
MySpace, FarmersMeat.com.
Farmers Meat, that's right.
eHarmony. So,
there's farm girls, though. Something to be said about them.
Hey, there you go. You know? So that's all at 929 Game. He is at Rob Tribble. I'm at JMC316.
I never tweet, though.
I do, because I'm very salty and smarmy and sarcastic.
Well, I want to host the Oscars one day, so I don't want to tweet anything. So.
Oh, you don't want a Kevin Hart it, huh?
I don't want a Kevin Hart it.
Or who was another one, too? Somebody else got kicked off for all of that.
It's so absurd.
Yeah, we're going to talk to our buddy Chip Towers here in just a minute or two, and we'll get his thoughts about lots of activity going on in the world of college football, and we'll talk some Dogs football with Chip. We'll also, too, you see Terry Godwin was the MVP of the Shrine Game over the weekend, so good news for Georgia. We'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment, but you can definitely see last year, and think about this year, how good in the NFL Sony Michel and Nick Chubb and Roquan Smith were. Yeah. Now you see a Terry Godwin.
Andrews, center for the Patriots. Yeah. Of course, he's been there for a couple of years.
Yeah, but you know, Georgia getting that reputation now, this is a place for NFL coaches to want to come and watch. And so there's some sexiness about it. That's what you want to do is bring the – you know, you notice it wasn't Brett Bielema wasn't the guy that was here in Atlanta like he was at some other pro days. No, it was Bill Belichick. Was right here in
coaching
Atlanta.
The linebackers
exactly.
Last year. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want. When you talk about recruiting and getting kids here, because they all think they can play on Sunday. They all want to go play on Sunday. Well, to do that, you know, you've got to have some sexiness to your program.
Imagine how mind-blowing that's got to be if you're a young kid and Bill Belichick is suddenly there coaching you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, that's what you want. That's what makes it sexy. Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotlines. Our buddy Chip Towers joining us here from Dog Nation. You can check him out on Twitter, at Chip Towers DN.
Hey, Chip, you're not transferring, are you? Everybody else is, it seems like.
Yeah, might as well. It seems to be the thing to do these days. But, yeah, no plans right now. I'm in the portal waiting to see who wants me.
I may drink some port wine, but I don't know if I'm in the portal or anything, Chip, at this point. Hey, you know, we were just mentioning, Chip, about the Terry Godwin, about him winning the MVP of the East-West Shrine Game. Tell me your thoughts about what do you think kind of the legacy of Terry Godwin is. Came in with a lot of hype. Had a pretty good career at Georgia, but was it maybe everything that some people thought it could be?
Not
at Georgia?
Not as impactful, flamboyant.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys. I think a lot of people probably may have forgotten if they weren't around then that he was a five-star recruit and, you know, pretty big time, you know, had a chance to have a baseball career as well. The Atlanta Braves drafted him. You know, kind of a slow start to his career. Well, you know, I say a slow start to his career. I mean, he was pretty doggone good as a freshman and wins the MVP in the Gator Bowl and had that unbelievable catch in Notre Dame. So, I mean, that'll always be his legacy. I think Steve Penley and some other great artists have done renderings of that catch. So he'll always go down in Georgia history for that catch against Notre Dame. But that was kind of ended up being kind of the apex maybe of his career. And I felt like in some ways, now he was injured this last season, so we have to give him a break on that. But I thought he might have been underutilized a little bit, forgotten about, because let me tell you the one thing, the year, his junior year, I can't remember what that quantification ESPN had, but it was, you know, I think it was quarterback, QB, it was QBR per target. The bottom line is if you threw it Terry Godwin's way, he almost always caught it, and he usually did something with it. And his catches per scores were really high. And, you know, and that came out in the East-West Shrine game. I was really happy to see him do well in that game. I think he had four catches for 80 yards, two touchdowns, offensive MVP, and hopefully that helps him. He's a tough guy to figure out because he reminds me a little bit, this may not be fair to him, he reminds me a little bit of Hines Ward, and then he's not the biggest guy in the world, and he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he is tough, and he always catches the ball.
He's just a football player.
Hopefully somebody will recognize that, right?
All right, Chitlin, let me ask you about this. Clearly you can tell you've arrived as a head coach when it seems like every offseason people come and raid your assistants. Mel Tucker, of course, going to Colorado. Jim Chaney gets his salary doubled to go to Tennessee. How do you think Kirby's going to be able to negotiate these waters?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the good thing about it is this is, again, something that he has a good bit of experience in, just having been up close and personal with Nick Saban every year. In fact, you know, here's the thing about Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart was that guy walking into the head coach's office all the time saying, "Hey, I got an offer. Hey, I got an offer." I mean, that happened for 6 years running. At Alabama before he finally got the job he wanted. Now, that was Nick Saban's advice at the time. And I do think, despite as much as they try to act like, kind of a tough love, I think these two guys really, really respect each other, because Nick Saban clearly didn't want to lose him back then and told him, hold out for the right job, hold out for the right job. And I think that, you know, that served Kirby really, really well, obviously, now that he's the head coaches of his alma mater and he has him in national championship contention. This is part of the air you're breathing. Same thing with the transfers, same thing with disgruntled five stars. I mean, you can't – the thing about it, guys, if everybody had stayed, and obviously they didn't, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this, but I think Georgia would have had 30 five stars on their roster next season.
Wow.
30 guys who got five-star stats. That's more than anybody. That's more than Alabama. It's more than Oklahoma. More than anybody in the country. Now you lost a few of those. Justin Fields, some other guys didn't come. I might have been equating in there if they'd assigned this guy or that guy. So, but it's in the range of 25 to 30, right? Five-star guys. We can only play 11, you know, and you can only play 22 on offense and defense. So not everybody's going to be happy. And so people are transferring out now, particularly quarterbacks, but, you know, a lot of positions. Luke Ford was a huge signee for Georgia last year, five-star number one player in the state of Illinois, and you pluck him and get him to Georgia. Now, that's just one of those situations that you've had for generations in college football. The guy was homesick. You know, he wanted to go back home. He had a sick grandfather. I get that. But, you know, that's part of the attrition that you're dealing with when you're recruiting at that level. And, you know, I think this is be an annual thing that we're having to follow. Who's in the transfer portal? What coaches are going where?
Chip Towers joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline from DogNation.com as talk a little UGA football with him. Georgia brings in Charlton Warren, defensive backs coach, was at Florida last year. What do we know about him, Chip?
Well, you know, I guess the two biggest things is he's very respected in the business and he recruits the Atlanta area. So, I mean, I would think on those two fronts, it's a home run. It's been so interesting to watch this thing because you remember he came out when Corey Raymond came to interview, and then, you know, right on the heels of Corey Raymond, the LSU the godfather of DBU was coming to interview at Georgia. Right on the heels of that, you hear about Charlton Warren. And then you know, that report got debunked really quick. And so it looks like it was a semantics issue. So, you know, inside of Georgia, they were vehemently denying that he had ever interviewed. Turns out there was some contact at some point, you know, certainly between last weekend and this one. And I think it's a home run hit, not the least of which, and I can't remember the kid's name, Elam, I think it might be, a DB recruit who had just been down to Florida to visit the weekend before, was at Georgia on his official visit when Georgia announces that they'd hired Charlton. So that's a pretty big hit, I think. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is how it plays out from here. A lot of people have asked me, you know, what's the deal with the defensive coordinator? Why haven't they hired one? Why haven't they announced one? And I think it's just because, you know, there were so many dominoes that needed to fall. You know, you were also talking to the defensive backs coach of the Oakland Raiders as well, Derek Ansley. So you're having to hold the defensive coordinator's title or part of the defensive coordinator's title in your pocket to see where that had to go. Now, you know, Kirby hasn't said anything about Charlton Ward needing a defensive coordinator title, but there's, you know, that may happen when he announces what his entire staff is going to look like, which will probably come after National Signing Day. But that's a lot of babble to say. I think it's a really good hire, and I think he's going to help Georgia.
Should Elijah Holyfield, we can't speak for him, but do you think it would have been better for Elijah Holyfield maybe stick around for one more year? I don't see him getting chosen, maybe fifth, sixth round, or am I wrong?
Well, yeah, here's the thing with Elijah. I don't think it was about the draft for him. I don't think he's really worried about the draft. I think he's worried about, you know, his NFL shot. This is a kid now. Two things about Elijah. He has tremendous confidence, number one, and he's a very intelligent kid. You know, a lot of people might not know that about him.
Yeah, but, went to Woodward. You got to be able to fog a mirror to get through Woodward.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, and he's a really smart kid, and I know he's thought this through. And, you know, all these running backs nowadays, you're looking at such a limited shelf life. I think he looked at the depth chart next year. He wasn't necessarily going to be the exclusive back or anything like that. There weren't going to be any national awards at hand. I think he's coming out pretty clean and strong and non-injured, right? That's pretty amazing for any back, you know, to get out of the SEC without a broken arm, without a broken leg, without a torn ACL. He managed to do that. And, he's very close to his degree. I think he figures he can come back and get that. And, you know, hey, let me move out of the way and let, you know, Zamir White and DeAndre Swift and hey, Brian Herrien, the forgotten man, you know, let me let these guys get their shot in college, and I'm going to move on and try to get my shot in the pro. So I think he's really thinking about catching on as a free agent. I mean, certainly he wants to get drafted, and that's his goal. And maybe we're all wrong, and he'll go higher than we suspect, but I don't think that's the point with him. I think his point is he thinks he's good enough to make a roster, and he's willing to prove it.
So on Twitter at Chip Towers DN, he's covering all things UGA for DogNation.com. Chip, as always, appreciate it, buddy, man. Thanks for jumping on with us on MLK Day.
Hey, fun hanging out, man. Talk to you next time.
You got it. Thanks, buddy.
How salty is Kirby going to be?
About
in spring practice of what happened in the show.
Oh, I hope he plays all the tweets and puts the Texas game on video. Yeah. Let's give you your national signing bonus code word.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
epic. 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 The code word for this hour is epic. You got until 8:59 a.m. Eastern time to text EPIC. Epic. To 72881 from your cell phone. That's 72881. One more time, the code word for this hour, epic. Certainly not an epic show that we're doing today, but that's what you get.
I disagree. I think we're zipping right along here.
Yeah, it's been the Team Have Not Takeover. So
I think it's been a fine show.
Text EPIC, E-P-I-C, to 72881 from your cell phone. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules.
I like how we remind people not to text and drive.
Well, that's law now.
It's the law.
So, and what did I see? They've issued almost 100 tickets or something like that already. For,
you know, my daughter just got her license. She's driving solo now, so I'm on her about that.
Yeah.
You know how they are with their phones, like, Lord of mercy.
Yeah.
Just one little lapse moment. Next thing you know, your future's done.
Yeah, too many bad things have happened. Like I said, I think they've issued 100-something tickets for texting and driving. So, yeah, don't do it. But Epic 272881. We'll get to some college football news when we get back as well. We'll talk a little bit more about the East-West Shrine Game and Terry Godwin's performance. And also, too, the Texas A&M president want to bring back their rivalry as well. Oh, by the way, we will do a Hughes World, but we'll flip it into a What's Bugging Chuckery for you. So we'll try to keep all
there's some petty thing out there that's stuck under your crawl.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, there's always something I can come up with. I can just wake up in the morning. Just walking from the parking garage to here is enough to get you petty in the morning. So more college football news to get back. Team Have Not Takeover, Rob Tribble, John Chuckery, after a CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason. Wow, getting a little cool and modern and hip with our music, huh, Brian? A little Havana.
Yeah, is that too much for you?
No, I like this song. So, Team Have Not Takeover today on 92.9 in the Kia Studios. You're home for SB 53 in the ATL.
I think we're a refreshing palate cleanser for the nonsense that normally emanates from these airwaves during the week. You ask me. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I feel strongly about that, too.
We can out-drink a lot of those guys.
Oh, yeah. Hold my beer, right?
Hey, 92.9 The Game's third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship, Rob, presented by Camus. The Game Day Cognac is happening Saturday, January 26th. That's this coming Saturday at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Go to 929thegame.com/gameball for more info. There's plenty of family fun at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs with bowling, bumper cars, laser tag, arcade games, and more. Plus, there are going to be raffle prizes, including an Xbox One, a Trae Young signed jersey, Dominique Wilkins signed basketball, Joseph Martinez and Michael Parker signed soccer balls, and all of that more. Go to 929thegame.com/gameball for all of your info. Rob Tribble, John Chuckery, almost said Harper LaBelle. If I said Harper, he wouldn't remember. But
well, at least when we're being intimate as a female and you call me by the wrong name, that's always kind of a frowned upon, I would think, in those situations.
I'm a good kisser. I'm a giver, not a taker, Rob.
Oh, you are.
So, some more college football
and
news.
I reckon you to be this emotional parasite. Had no idea. Had you all wrong.
Just ask my ex-wife. I mean, twice a month all I give is give, give, give. So, anyway, college football news. For you. We'll do Hughes World coming up next, by the way. We talked about with Chip Towers, Terry Godwin. Thrown at four times, 80 yards on four catches, two touchdowns, offensive MVP for the East-West Shrine Game. Also, too, what's his name? Galliard, the offensive lineman, really had a good week of practice at the East-West Shrine Game. That made a lot of noise as well. You know, and as I said, Rob, this is a good thing for you know, watching Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and Roquan Smith and those guys balling out this year. Sony Michel now in the Super Bowl. There's a lot of good about
Todd Gurley in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. About I'm even talking about when you look at this last year or two for Georgia players under in the Kirby Smart regime, taking that big step forward in the NFL, having success, showing out in these postseason games. You know, you talk about the little things in recruiting. Hey, these kids want to play on Sunday, and if they see Bill Belichick at your place, you know, with all due respect. Nobody was going over to this place over here on North Avenue to go watch NFL Day. You know, you weren't getting anybody over there. I'm hoping that Jeff Collins brings some of that to the flats of, I'm not saying the level of Georgia, but it's time for Georgia Tech to be back in the business of guys that play on Sunday.
Jordan Yates, did he commit to Georgia Tech? Is that the kid from Milton?
Yes.
Dual threat kid, okay.
Yes.
How long is this going to take for Jeff Collins to get this going out? He's going to have a while.
Yeah, it's going to be probably a couple, 2-3 years to get. I mean, if nothing else, to just get the recruiting back on track and change up the system.
And he was a very good recruiter, kind of outside the box, kind of a whimsical type.
Well, he was here for the Morgan Burnett and all that
group
in 07.
That's right. He brought in some good dudes for O'Leary.
Yep. So that's what I'm hoping for, is that, you know, Georgia's certainly become very sexy, and that's where Bill Belichick and guys like that are, you know, coming to. But, you know, for Tech, it needs to be about getting back. For whatever your philosophy style, I'm not even talking about that. Just you need to get back to playing, having guys that are Sunday-level players. You haven't had that in a long time. You've had the random kid.
Oh,
here
but
and
the
there.
Academics, they've done it before.
Of course they have.
Shane Gailey recruited his butt off. Of course, he didn't coach him up, but he recruited very well.
There was never a problem with getting kids under George or Chan and having guys that were coached up. And look, you got the best player maybe of all time in Georgia Tech and Calvin Johnson. Yeah. You had Joe Hamilton, you know, here. Hell, even Goose Gotze was a productive quarterback. Plus all the guys we've talked about, Des White and you know, Bebe and all the
Kelly
guys.
Campbell.
That, yeah, I mean, all the guys that were here. Help the Keith Brookings of the world. You know, guys that were impactful players on Sunday. Time to be back there. I mean, you're in downtown Atlanta in the ACC. You got to have those kinds of kids if you want to be playing big-time college football in 2019.
Ooh, how terrible is the Coastal this year, though? 7-5 Pitt, three coaching changes.
They ended up 7-6 because they lost lost their bowl game, too.
Lord.
7-6. That was the Coastal champion.
So would you just take a permanent marker and put Alabama Clemson again next year?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia and Ohio State are the two teams right after that. Georgia probably 34.
Watch out for Oregon. They're recruiting their butts off. They get the top recruit in the country, that defensive end, and plus that's a sexy program once.
I still don't trust Pac-12, their head coach.
Yeah.
Their head coach already lost them one game last year.
But that conference is up for grabs, though, I think. And Oregon, I think Oregon wins the next year.
And I think the other team in that conference that's very interesting is Washington, because the Jacob Eason, does he take that next step forward under Peterson taking over
What if
now?
We have a playoff featuring Justin Fields of Ohio State, Jacob Eason of Washington?
I think it'll be – I'm going to say Clemson will get, because of their national title, Clemson 1, Bama 2, Georgia 3, Ohio State 4. And you know who I think is going to be preseason 5th?
Who's that?
Texas.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that. Tom Herman, yeah. That's that type of bowl win. The fact that they actually won a physical bowl game.
Yeah.
They out-physical Georgia in that finesse conference.
Ellinger
galvanizes that program.
Ellinger back at quarterback. You may end up with one or both of those kids coming back at wide receiver. They're both juniors, so they could come back if they want
that
one more year.
That kid's stout, too.
Yeah, they have two really good wide receivers. So they'll, you know, and obviously they're bringing kids in now. Defensively, they'll be pretty good. They'll have to replace their running back. Their running back was a grad transfer, I think. So that'll have to be replaced. But short of that, they're going to be right there. I think that win did a lot for Texas and their mojo. And Oklahoma's going to be right back in the mix with Jalen Hurts going there.
How do you think that's going to work out, you think? Because he's not Kyler Murray. I mean, he's a winner, though. He's a winner, though.
Doesn't matter. They got the right guy at coach.
Yeah.
That guy can coach you up. I got news for you. Kyler Murray was okay at Texas A&M. He won this at A&M. I know he was a prize recruit, but
he kind of resented the fact a lot of people gave his coach a lot of credit for his development. He kind of pushed back a little bit. Well, I could already throw because I'm a baseball player.
Okay. Well, I don't think
he coached him up, though. You're right about him.
I don't think anybody saw 50 touchdowns and a Heisman trophy.
No.
Coming right off of Baker Mayfield.
NFL guy, though, at 5'9"?
No. I don't think so. I'm not buying it.
I think that's delusional.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, he's explosive enough, you know, put him in a slot or somewhere. I just don't think he's a quarterback. He's shorter than Doug Flutie.
Quarterback in the NFL is you have to stand in the pocket and you have to push the ball downfield. That's tough to do at 5'9", and also, too, that's not Kyler Murray's game. Kyler Murray's game is not to stand in the pocket, wait to be hit, and then throw the football. That's the NFL. Is the quarterbacks are sitting back waiting to be hit for the play to open and throw. That's not his game. His instinct is to get out and then throw it.
Who wins Super Bowls? Not the dual threat guys.
No.
Pocket guys.
No.
Pocket guys. They always will. I know the dual threat guys are sexy and that turns people on. They love the idea of it. They don't win Super Bowls.
Look at three of the four quarterbacks that you had yesterday. I mean, I think Mahomes got some mobility, but Brady, Breeze, and Goff are stand in the pocket, throw it downfield. That's what they do. That's why Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers can move, but those guys are stand in the pocket, take the hit, push the ball downfield.
Oh, guess what? Their careers last longer, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Even Russell Wilson. I mean, people talked about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was a guy that played in two NFL offenses in college.
Mm-hmm.
Played for Tom O'Brien, same guy that Matt Ryan played for. He played for Brent Bielema.
But he's also got a plus arm, though.
Oh, I agree with you. But my point is, he didn't play in a gimmick system, Russell Wilson did coming out of college. He played
in
a
Super Bowl.
Systems.
They ran the ball and played good defense.
Yeah, absolutely. They didn't ask him to do more. He was a rookie when they won the Super Bowl. They didn't ask him to do more than what he had to do. They had an all-time top 10 defense. and they had the best running back in the NFL. They used both those guys.
That will always win.
Uh-huh.
That's always. I don't care how gimmicky offenses get. Spread them out. Throw it all over the field. This, that, and the other. That always will win.
By the way, Kyler Murray working out with Antonio Brown.
Oh, good, good.
I mean, what could go wrong there?
Yeah,
right?
What could go wrong? It's going to pollute his mind, right? Yeah.
I did see, too, as we talk some college football with you here, Texas and Texas A&M's presidents have both come out saying that they support getting the rivalry back on track.
Oh, especially now because Jimbo's recruiting.
And that,
watch out for them out west. They're not going to take over Alabama. Hey, they're going to overtake LSU, though.
That's Randy and I's team next year.
Yeah.
Look out for Texas A&M.
I agree with that.
Better be careful about what's going on at College Station.
Guess what? Jimbo has won a national title, hasn't he?
I've asked this question. In 5 years, who's going to be the sexier program, A&M or Texas?
Ooh, that's going to be
–
that's great. Isn't it funny how there's a changing of the guard? It used to be traditionally Texas, Texas A&M. Then we heard from TCU and Baylor for a while. Then Baylor, all that nonsense happened.
Yep.
Now order has been restored in the state of Texas.
Yep. And even, you know, you had some good players that were going to Houston. You know, Houston was bringing kids in. So guys like Ed Oliver, they have a very good quarterback coming back. Derek King coming back next year. But – this Texas-Texas A&M rivalry.
That'd be must-see TV if these programs are going where I think they are.
They won't put that game back on Thanksgiving night because the NFL now has three games and they have the night game on the NFL.
Yeah, Georgia Tech used to be Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, and even Georgia Tech at times was Friday too, weren't they? Didn't they play some Fridays afterward?
Maybe. I think it was mostly Thanksgiving.
But I'm okay if you want to tell me Texas A&M is a Friday day after Thanksgiving game.
Sign me up.
Bring it on. I mean, if my options are the Farm Bowl of Iowa and Nebraska, you know, one of those kinds of games, or I get Texas A&M. Give me Texas A&M all day long. It used to be for a bunch of years too. Was Arkansas and LSU?
That's right.
But they moved that game. Now A&M and LSU
Egg Bowl
is the
final.
I think
on the Friday night.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yes, Egg Bowl as well. And A&M LSU has kind of become that rivalry. But I would love to see Texas A&M. College football needs those kinds of games, and I wouldn't care if they played that game on one of those Jerry's World neutral fields or something too. I don't. Those
That's
games
fine.
Don't bother me. I know Randy doesn't like those neutral field games.
I don't either. I understand the money, though. I get that. But,
I love the Daytona 500 aspect of it. Play top games right at the start of the year. Yeah. Flip the script. Don't wait till the middle of the season.
Well, I like them on campus, so that vibe.
When we get back, it's a Hughes World that will transition right into What's Bugging Chuckery. So a couple of baseball players that are tetting back and forth with one another. I love pettiness amongst athletes, so we'll have some of that next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
The Game Day Cognac, because every day is game day.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is time for the Team Half Takeover here, and one of the staples of my show is, of course, What's Bugging Chuckery. So we will transition from Hughes World into that. Rob Tribble, John Chuckery, hanging out in the Key Studios till 10 o'clock with you here on Team Half Takeover Day. Rob Tribble, I enjoyed this story very much. So Chris Bryant was doing something with, let's see here, what was this that he was doing? There was a annual fan convention. So I guess, you know, we had Chop Festa over the weekend here in Atlanta. They had their annual event up in Chicago. And during a sit-down, Chris Bryant called St. Louis boring. He was being interviewed on stage by former pitcher Ryan Dempster on Friday night. And they were joking about the idea of Bryant playing for the Cardinals. And Bryant said, who would want to play in St. Louis? Boring. So boring. I always get asked, where would you like to play? Where would you not like to play? St. Louis is on the list of places I don't like to play.
I love it.
It's rough. Then even Dempster chimed in, saying that at one point in his career, there was a chance that he was going to be traded to St. Louis. Dempster said, I'm like, zero chance in hell. What is he, Vince McMahon? No chance in hell? Did he have the Vince McMahon music to go with it or what?
But St. Louis is boring, isn't it?
He said, no way, won't even go there as a free agent. Not happening. Well, now, of course, because somebody said that, Cardinals have to be offended.
Yes, they do.
Because it's 2018.
That's right. That's what you do.
Doesn't matter how many years you flip the calendar forward. in 2018, everybody has to be offended by everything that you said. Cardinals outfielder Marcell Ozuna commented on, let me say first that Yadier Molina had to have a response. Of course, St. Louis Cardinals catcher. All stars, elite players, and leaders of their teams do not speak bad about any city. There should be respect, and you should play and compete with respect. Only stupid players and losers make comments like the ones made by Bryant and Dempster. Do you understand that Bob Gibson back in the day hated every team? Like, he would be the first guy to tell you.
Even his own teammates.
He was the first guy to tell you. When we went to the All-Star game, even though those guys were my teammates, I didn't fraternize with everybody.
Nope.
Those were my enemies. Just because we were at the All-Star game, yeah, we had to come together and beat the American League, but he even said, those weren't my brothers. You know, but now everybody's got their same agents and everything like this, and everybody's got to be
leaders
all together.
Don't disparage other cities. How are those mutually exclusive? I don't get that.
So Marcell Ozuna also, who's the Cardinals outfielder, had to respond as well because he's a teammate of Molina's. From outside, they speak and talk like Tiger, but at the end, they're going to be like little cat. Hashtag zero respect for this stupid play.
That's funny.
Hashtag K Viva St. Louis. Hashtag love STL.
See, I like that. I like that retort. I don't like the righteous preening that Yadier Molina did. I like the you go in the gutter with some good old-fashioned name-calling.
I agree.
That's where it
there's to me, there's not a thing wrong with what Chris Bryant said.
No, it's great.
First of
it's
all,
a rivalry.
Cubs and Cardinals.
Baseball needs more of that, by
right,
the way.
It doesn't get much better than Cubs and Cardinals.
Nope.
Talking about rivalries, right? Okay, he's a Cub. Drafted, plays for the Cubs, he's a Cub. He's not supposed to – I don't want my guy telling you how great St. Louis is, right?
Or Jim Mora talking about how great Seattle is. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want that. No.
I don't want Jim Mora on Washington radio with his buddy Hugh Millen telling you that that's my dream job.
Oof.
I don't want that stuff.
I want a Dodger player. I want Clayton Kershaw to come out and talk bad about San Francisco with their feces app and the hypodermic needles everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Call it a hellhole. I love that.
That half the attendance is people sleeping under the stadium.
Yes.
that there are more homeless people lying around the stadium than there are fans in the stands.
That's what baseball needs.
Or that McCovey Cove is where they dump all the homeless bodies when they die.
Wow.
What's wrong with that?
That's fantastic.
What's wrong with that?
That's what baseball needs.
And this goes back to exactly what we've been talking about with our getting on Saints people. It's no different. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to be the bigger sport about the Saints losing.
No.
Because I had people on Twitter, oh, well, that's just not. Because I tweeted out, I said, here's my pity party for the New Orleans Saints. I got two words for you. And I got Shawn Michaels and Triple H doing the DX suck it sign. Okay? I got no pity party for
it. No,
oh,
on,
well,
it's fun.
Well, you know, that's not. No,
oh, yes,
it's sports. That's what you want. I don't want Freddie Freeman coming out and telling me, boy, I love the Nationals organization. I really think they're great, and I could really see myself playing for an organization like that, and they do everything the right way. Screw that. They suck. We don't want to beat them.
Yeah.
I don't want my star guys going out and telling you how great everybody else is. Do you remember it used to be, can you go way back in time and remember when the Celtics and Lakers didn't like each other? They respected one another. But they didn't like each other.
Oh, it's,
ask Kurt Rambis and Kevin McHale. They didn't like each other.
I just picture Kurt Rambis getting clotheslined,
right,
falling on his head.
But McHale, Robert Perry, those guys didn't like each other.
No.
They respected each other. They appreciated what they did. But you think Pat Riley liked the Celtics?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. Now, nowadays, it was a few years ago when Steve Nash was in the Lakers, and he's hugging everybody in a Celtics. Remember? Come on, man.
I like that little bit of angst between rivals.
Listen,
yeah, I like those old school days. Now everybody's kumbaya.
I thought it was great when, who was it? Who was it? Was it somebody for the Miami Heat that went up to Ray Allen or whatever, and there was some heat there on one of the opening night games or something like that between Ray Allen and, oh, maybe Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. Yeah, when Ray Allen went to Miami and they played the Celtics that first opening game of the season, and Garnett wouldn't go over and shake his hand.
Blew him off. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Hello, that's what I want in sports.
That's great.
What's wrong with black? How do you think NASCAR made its name, by the way? You think NASCAR made its name because they watched cars run around in circles? No. Or did they make its name because a guy would throw a helmet at your windshield if you hit him, and he'd run after you in the pit?
Love that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a raw human emotion.
Right.
It's the greatest stuff ever.
Listen, I'm a big wrestling guy. Why do you think wrestling works? Heels and baby faces. Yep. You want the bad guy and the good guy. I root for him. I root against him. That's what NASCAR did. That's what I want in sports. If you're a Cubs fan, that's why you root for Chris Bryant. Because he said, screw you, St. Louis.
Yeah, you're a boring town. I think it is a boring town.
Right. And you know, I guess you're rooting for Yadier Molina, even though he said, well, this isn't righteous what you're doing.
Oh, just stop. Stop. Hall of Famer, though, but stop. Stop, stop, stop. Yeah.
Have fun with it.
Yeah.
Embrace the suck.
I think that city that we hate in Atlanta might be Philadelphia, though, because of all the rivalries through the years, Braves and Phillies. Falcons, Hawks especially.
We hate them more than Falcons, we don't hate them more than New Orleans, though, right?
I'm talking about there's more tiers to it because of the Braves.
Oh, yeah.
The Phillies,
well, obviously New Orleans doesn't Falcons really have any other history with us or anything. Yeah. Because I think they want that to be Charlotte, don't they? In some ways, too. They want the Panthers to be all of that, but there's not enough angst there.
Well, legitimate hate between Orlando soccer fans and Atlanta United fans. That's percolating in a nice, organic way.
By the way, you enjoyed that picture of pity. We just came on a transatlantic flight in the middle of the night. And
Atlanta United fans there to greet him this morning at 5 a.m. in Hartsfield.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
After he's been on a plane for like 12 hours since 3 o'clock in the morning.
Nonsense, right?
But it's all right.
It's fun, though.
All right, going to take a look at the conference championship games, recap all the action and what was a wild day in the NFL. Team Have Not Takeover on the morning show. Rob Triple, John Chuckery, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.